Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, bringing you echoes of the pontificate of the first Pope of the 20th century, whose feast day the Church remembers on Saturday, 21st of August. He's Saint Pope Pius X, who you'll be hearing about in a moment in a very personal manner, as remembered by some of those who knew him and by others whose family belonged to the papal court of the time, and who share stories regarding him passed down by their very own parents. Born Giuseppe Sarto, he was elected as successor of Peter on the 4th of August 1903 and died on the 20th of August 1914. But do stay tuned as we begin our story with three American sisters sitting in a horse-drawn carriage as they make their way to the heart of the Vatican to enjoy an audience with this Pope and future saint.
You could see these beautiful carriages going through the Vatican. Everybody needed to go into the Vatican. All the horses clattering on the, and it was really quite impressive going. But there were very...
The familiar sound of the horses clattering on the cobblestones of the narrow alleys that used to lead up to St. Peter's. The three McMurra sisters are breathless with excitement as they recall their first visit to the newly elected Pope in the summer of 1903.
Oh, we wore decorations, yeah. So we all fitted in that other way, you know.
Yes, you couldn't come in on foot, no.
You had to order a landau at a livery stable. You notified them that you were expecting an audience. So then they'd keep one of these carriages ready with two horses and a coachman and a footman. And then you went up in the lift, a water lift, you know, up to the beautiful... Loggi di Raffaella, they are.
The sisters were immensely struck by the Pope's physical presence. They tell us something we could never tell just by looking at the black and white photographs of the period. Pope Pius X had blue eyes.
I remember saying to Mother, Mother, the Holy Father has blue eyes. And they were full of light. And they looked down on you, I don't know, with such light and a twinkle in them too, you know. But such sweetness, you know. Everybody loved those eyes, you know. They were the eyes of a saint.
The McMurra sisters were thrilled by Pope Pius X's election. Not everybody was. In France, on learning of his election, controversial Catholic writer Léon Blois wrote in his diary,
I learnt this evening of the election of the Patriarch of Venice. He has taken the name of Pius X. Instead of filling me with joy, the news makes me sad, almost disappointed. I had so wished for something different. Nothing ever changes. An Italian and an old man.
But Léon Blois was wrong. Pius X may well have been Italian and what may have seemed old at the time, 69, but something had changed. Unlike the popes of the previous century, the first pope of the newly nascent 20th century was a man of the people, the son of a postman and a seamstress. His humble origins spelt a capacity to communicate. Warmth and humanity were to prevail over the remote regality of his predecessors, surfacing at times into a reassuring playfulness. The McMurra sisters experienced this firsthand when they engaged in a curious custom then in vogue, which consisted in buying a papal cap identical to the one the Pope wore from the same nuns who made them for him, and then, during an audience with him, proceed to exchange it with him.
And then he looked down at me just a little reproachfully, and then a twinkle came into his eye, and he took it and he put it behind his back, you know. Oh, and then he kind of walked away. So then I didn't know what was going to happen to the cap and all of this thing. I mean, I'd been told exactly what I was to do, so I ran after him on my knees. So then he took it off, you know, and he gave it to me rather reluctantly. And then he put the other one on his head.
Today, the idea of exchanging caps with a pope, or indeed running after a pope on one's knees, certainly strikes us as quaint, to say the least. At the beginning of the century, it obviously wasn't so unusual. What did seem unusual was the choice of a pope who had served as a parish priest.
We wanted a pope who had never engaged in politics, whose name would signify peace and concord, who had grown old in the care of souls, who would concern himself with the government of the church in detail, who would be, above all, a father and a shepherd.
A father and a shepherd, the words of Cardinal Mathieu, one of the cardinals who elected
Giuseppe Sarto,
and Pope Pius X was every bit a pastor. Firmly convinced everybody had a right to see the Pope in person, he created a stir by spending his Sunday afternoons teaching catechism to ordinary people. He spent time with children, earning himself a reputation as the children's pope, lowering communion age to children as young as 7. Holy Communion is the shortest way to heaven, he never tired of saying. The choice of a pope who would be more of a father and a shepherd and less of a politician was also shared by the Catholic rulers of that time in Europe. In 1903, they still exercised their right of veto over the choice of a Roman pontiff. It was to be for the last time. Ironically, one of the first gestures of the very man they had chosen as pope was to remove this ancient privilege from them. By this clamorous gesture, only days after his election, the Pope showed he possessed copious courage and, above all, a flair for innovation. But something was lacking. On the odd occasion, he proved to be highly suspicious of things that might break with the past. Despite having witnessed the dawn of aviation, and despite the Vatican garage being full of motor cars, he refused to go anywhere near what he referred to as a horseless carriage.
It's well known, for sure, one of the first cars ever get a Vatican plate on its body was donated at the time of Pope Pius X. But Pope Pius X never stepped on an automobile.
Unlike Pope Pius X, Marquis Mario Teodoli had a passion for motor cars, a passion he inherited from his father, who served as an honorary noble guard under Pope Pius X.
My father bought a car after he got married in 1909. And that I remember as a child, when the seasons changed, winter was coming, the car was driven down to a garage, the summer body was disassembled, and the limousine tied down to the chassis, if you see what I mean. Probably, if one could interpret a human being of his age, the automobile was a modern means of transportation. Probably wouldn't have felt very sure in it.
Apart from his fear of motor cars, Pope Pius X was otherwise fearless of change. His gentle heart hid an iron hand. He was a tireless reformer, both at pastoral and administrative levels. He launched the liturgical movement that would later be taken up by the Second Vatican Council, issued a document on sacred music that contributed to the revival of good liturgical music, creating a watchdog commission to enforce the norms expounded in it. Certainly, Pope Pius X never forgot his Venetian origins. He felt imprisoned in the Vatican and used to sit looking wistfully out at the trains going by, longing for the flat and familiar horizons of his homeland. He loved to break out in his Venetian dialect and did so on one occasion during a private audience.
My father, just married in 1904, wanted to introduce his wife to Pius X. Our family,
like Marquis Teodoli, Count Cardelli also belonged to one of the patrician houses that had for generations been devoted to the Holy See.
Representatives of the ancient nobility of the city of Rome has always been, from one generation to another, attached and devoted to the Holy See. In those years, it was easier for our families to be received in a private audience. My mother was Belgian and could hardly speak Italian then. The Holy Father encouraged her with his sweet smile and said, in a few months, you shall speak Italian like me. But he used a funny word in his Venetian dialect, la spapolerà l'italiano come me.
Ten years after this audience, the sweet and paternal Pope Count Cardelli described so well was to die at the age of 80. While the Count doesn't remember his death, Marquis Teodoli does.
There's one item about that Pope that I remember distinctly, and I brag about it because I was 4 years old and I was up at Siciliano, and it was the day of the feast of the protector. There was a saint protector of Siciliano, still exists, Santa Liberata. We heard the bells ring, but instead of ringing for the feast day, we heard the passing bells because Pius X died that day.
My guests on this program were the McMurrah sisters, Marquis Mario Teodoli and Count Carlo Cardelli, all of whom I personally met and spoke to in the latter half of the 20th century. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening.